If you've enjoyed a play, Shakespeare or otherwise, at American Players Theater in Spring Green over the years, you may want to stop and tip your hat to David Frank. He's been at the helm of the company as artistic director for 23 years. The company was in debt and producing four productions a year when Frank took over for two of the departing founders.
Today, the company is operating in the black, puts on around nine productions a season, and has been called the best classical theater company in America by the Wall Street Journal.
David Frank is wrapping up his 23rd year at APT with a production of Alcestis. Frank is retiring this month. Brenda DeVita takes over for him as artistic director.
David Frank is with us now to look back on his 23 years with American Players Theater. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, take us back to that first day that you hoofed it up that famous hill at American Players Theater to start the process of applying for artistic director. What do you remember about that day and the first play you saw?
Well, I have a story that I've told so often that I'm afraid that everyone's already heard it, but it is emblazoned in my mind. And that first visit, I was there for Sunday matinee, a matinee. It must have been 95 degrees. It was extraordinarily hot, and the reek from the porta potties was almost visible as it wound its way down towards the expensive seats. And you'd thought that most human beings would have paid the full price of a theater ticket not to be present. There were 400 or 500 people sitting spellbound to a production of Winter's Tale, from which not one word had been cut. And I thought, this is the most extraordinary phenomenon I've ever seen. It is true, the stage is wobbling, and the premises are fairly primitive, and there's no money in the bank, but what a precious inheritance that was.
And you just come down from a big letdown in not getting that same position, artistic director at Oregon Shakespeare. And there you were at APT with the porta potties and a theater company that needed some TLC. What was it like? What was your mindset going in? Did you feel like you'd been booted to the minors?
Well, you know, no, I really never. It was, I took one look at this place and I thought, oh, I want this job so badly, and felt supremely lucky to get it. It was obvious that there was some, you know, you had to crawl before you could walk, and we had to cut costs and all those kind of things. But it was just Madison, that audience, some of the actors we inherited. It was all so promising, so exciting, so capable of rapid change. We were just agog to get on with it. Yeah, there were practical problems, but they were all seemed capable of solution.
Now, you had wanted to be an actor yourself. How did you wind up a director?
I wanted to be an actor for a very short time. I trained long enough to convince myself and everyone else surrounding me that I was not going to be God's gift to the stage. way back in drama school. But by then, the bug had already bitten deeply. And there was a little voice always outside me looking at me going, Frank, you're really bad. And that is a guarantee of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you know you're bad, you certainly will be. But what was, I just loved looking at what other people were doing and could hardly contain myself from saying, why don't you try? What if we did? Way back from drama school, I thought that's what I want to do. Now I've just got to figure a way of having someone let me do it.
So what were those early years like when you took over? I mean, APT has changed so much over the years. Right. From those first years, you got the job, obviously, as artistic director. What was it like in the beginning for you?
Well, you know, It was insanely exciting and hard work, of course, because, okay, every actor is going to be in every show. We've got to cut costs whatever we do, and we've got to produce as many plays, maybe even more. It's the old simple formula, isn't it? Increase income, decrease expense. There was such a response from audiences. There was such a response The very first thing I remember we did, because there wasn't much money to travel, so you had kind of one audition trip, but we basically went out to a rather fine training program, which alas, I think doesn't exist anymore, but did at this time. It's one that had its origins in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, then went to Newark, Delaware. And we essentially hired the graduating class of highly trained young actors, non-equity, inexpensive relative to their talent and ability, and seated those with the equity actors, chosen equity actors we'd inherited from the company. So it was really exhilarating, feeling the expansion, getting a sense of the audience that we had inherited, and also the ideas that we had inherited from the founders. That was the critical inheritance, which was that these plays, properly done, in and of themselves can be exciting to a contemporary audience. They don't need messing up. They don't need, rotating stages and huge, heavy-handed concepts that are essentially making a boring experience more acceptable. If you just do the plays and tell the story well and, above all, make the language clear, they work. And Madison, of course, was the perfect place for that kind of proposition, because it's highly educated, well-read, and there were lots of audience members who came out to see those plays. We had no sets to speak of. Very costumes we largely rented or reused stock if we had it. Borrowed, we'd make a little bit, but not a whole lot. But the basic idea worked, and that was thrilling.
Now, you mentioned language, and you have a reputation for working really deeply with language, with crystallizing the meaning in it and being attuned to that element in particular. How has that bending toward language shaped what APT is?
Well, I think it really has. In a way, I suppose it was a nice byproduct of poverty. When you have nothing else, you have the play, you have the actors, and that play is a story and those words. And that's above all what you have to do. Telling a good story is, of course, common to any production of any play of any kind, but you better do it. And then you have to deal with all those words, those dense verbal texts, which are the specialized area of concern for APT. And I'd always been fascinated with the potential of adding the kind of rather technical background I came from in terms of verse speaking and phrasing and the mechanics of the voice and the mechanics of verse speaking, along with the kind of spontaneity and excitement and freedom that you detected in American acting. And often you were taught that there was a compromise between the two. You did that or that, and you tried to forge a middle path. And I always thought, no, I want to put it a slightly different way. I don't think it's a compromise. I think you fuse the two, that technical skills, if they are achieved at a high enough order, are actually incredibly freeing because they wither away. If the technique is good enough, an actor isn't conscious of it. They can just play the thought. But then also there was a way of trying to approach the poetry and to... this is getting complex and technical. but it was passionately important to us to try to make an approach to the verse that was specific to us. It doesn't mean it's unique. It's just that's what we wanted to unify the company around. That's why we wanted a permanent company, so that everyone could get on the same page as to how we approach dense verbal text. And the product of it should be that those complex verse becomes necessary, not just pretty, but a vital way of communicating, and that you can share your excitement with the language with an audience right there. That has been the center for us.
And you've been with this company for 23 years. You must have so many stories about it. I wonder if you have one or two brief stories that are special to you that you'll remember.
Oh, my gosh. You never know. What story? Well, I mean, it was a bit of one of the early ones I remember here, because I was asked that question quite some years ago about what the stories you remember first coming here and how was it different from being outdoor, from the indoor theaters that I'd been solely occupied in before. And I remember an early rehearsal of A Midsummer Night's Dream outdoor, and we were rehearsing on the stage. We didn't have many other places. It was a very hot afternoon, even in June, and we were rehearsing. And that Val Lantz, wonderful actress, she got married and went away and had children and all sorts of other career things, but she was a terrific actress, loved her, and she was playing Helena. And the scene called for her to be lying down in the woods, which was on the stage. And we got to the end of that scene, and I said, okay, hang on, let's gather for a moment and talk that through. And Val was still lying there. And then there was a squawk from Val, and her plastic earring had melted and bonded to the stage.
Oh, no.
But that wasn't the surprising thing. What was surprising was everyone took it in their stride as if it happened the whole time.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
They quickly cleared it. And thought, oh, that's old hat, David. You haven't seen anything yet.
Wow. So lots of things happening in APT that you could probably fill a book with it. And, you know, we only have a little bit of time left here, a few seconds. Is there a Shakespeare line about goodbyes that comes to mind as you prepare to leave?
Oh, you know, I haven't prepped that one. There's so many lines, aren't there? But hopefully it's not a real good. You know, I'll be back to do a show next year, just one show, and I'll be around in the background in my walker urging on. There is a...
And I'm sorry, we're out of time. I have to leave it there, David. But it's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I wish you luck. David Frank is the outgoing artistic director of American Players Theater.